beginning of 4 weeks on the general topic of how God helps his people to grow. Spiritual disciplines is what we're going to be talking about the next 4 weeks. I think some of what we will talk about are things we would presume and guess, but I think some of what we will talk about will be a bit different from what we're used to, at least for some of us. How God grows his people. Let me ask you, as you think through Scripture, how did God grow his people? Think about some of the characters, specific characters in the Bible. How did God grow some of his people? Tell me.
Stuck them in the desert.
All right. So give me some names and names and circumstances. All right? Names and circumstances. How did God grow some people? Yeah.
Joseph was put in the well, then from there, then...
Joseph in a well, then Joseph in a jail, Joseph in a... Okay,
then
right.
The palace, yeah.
All right, Joseph in a heap of trouble time and time again. Okay, yes, Tim.
Let them stew and work out their own issues. Moses ran away.
Okay. Okay, so Moses was in exile, effectively, for a long time as a shepherd. Okay, excellent, yeah.
David got chased around by wild animals, and then got chased around by Saul.
Okay, chased by animals, chased by Saul, and stuck in a cave for a large part of his life. Yes?
He gave people responsibilities, like Moses and Gideon, gave them tasks that he wanted them to carry out that maybe they didn't feel fit.
They didn't feel ready for, didn't actually want, frankly, right? Because Moses kept making excuses. Yeah. That's how he helped him to grow, though. Great point. Miko?
Right, just think about Paul. Paul probably needed a lot of training.
Right. All those years...
And then he boasts about being stoned and left for dead and shipwrecked how many times.
All right, day and night in the open sea and all that. A lot of tests to help him to grow, to get him ready. Yes, Richard?
It's kind of similar, but after when Elijah had amazing victory and then suddenly Jezebel was on him and he was off, that we have this incredible high and then something that, you know, seemingly can't handle.
Yes, and he takes Elijah into a place of solitude to help him to grow and get ready for the next phase that God's got in mind for him. There were a couple more. Yes?
Jonah in the whale.
Jonah was tested in the whale. I mean, that was a place where... Imagine thinking the last place on earth you could imagine being helped to grow by God. I think in the belly of a fish would be one of them, right? But that is the very place where God helped him to grow. We're going to think more about that kind of thing in a bit. Dennis?
I think of the widow who served Elijah when she had... Our last meal she's going to die.
What a test. Yes.
God gave unlimited resources.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Yeah.
Jacob, I think he was a deceitful person, and then how God turned him to Israel.
Some of the struggles he had with Laban.
Yeah.
Oh, that refined him. Okay. Excellent. Any more? It's quite, if we think more and more about it. Yes.
I think similar to what Cicely said. So just getting us to, or getting people to face the consequences of their actions. So David had the affair with Bathsheba, and God obviously sent a prophet to get him to repent and see his sin, but he faced the consequence and had to go through that
A great period of refining. God chooses the right places to help his people grow. He chooses the right circumstances for him to help his people grow. He chooses the right circumstances. He did then, and he still does today. There are circumstances and there are ways that he helps us to grow that we might not choose, but there are disciplines. Sometimes they're imposed by God. Circumstances happen to us. Sometimes, though, we are able to, and it is good for us to choose to use the disciplines that God gives us. Abraham was refined by the delay in granting him his son. Moses, as some are mentioned, in the desert. Joseph in a jail. Daniel in the king's palace. If you think about that, when he was taken in exile to the king's palace, that was a bit of a test for him there, a place for him to grow in his convictions. Jonah in the fish, Elijah in solitude, David in caves, and many more. So we're talking tonight about not so much about circumstances that happen to us. We're going to talk more tonight about circumstances that we choose, disciplines that we choose that can help us to grow. That will be more of what we're doing today. So we're talking about four classes with six disciplines. The six disciplines are in the booklet. Those are the ones we're going to focus on in the four-week series. I would say that if we apply ourselves to even one of these disciplines for the 4 weeks of August, it will completely change your life potentially your entire relationship with God. I'm not saying it's magic. But what I am saying is that if we apply ourselves to these things, that they have a change, can have a huge change on us and in us, more than any mind-altering powerful drug, in a good way. So, what are the spiritual disciplines? What would you say, if someone was asking you, what is a spiritual discipline, what is it for, how might you answer that question? What is a spiritual discipline? When you think about spiritual disciplines, what comes to mind?
Fasting
is one, yeah, okay.
Prayer.
Prayer, yeah.
General sense of self-control.
Self-control in general, okay.
Self-denial.
Self-denial in general, but more specifically, like things, yeah?
Quiet time, every day.
Quiet time, daily quiet time, all right. Yeah, spiritual disciplines. Anything else?
Giving, financially.
Okay, financial giving, sacrifice. Generosity, sacrifice, okay.
Mm-hmm. Sharing your life.
Sharing your life, sharing your faith. Richard?
I think for me it's just being constantly aware of your thoughts and disciplining your mind.
Okay. What's going on up here or in here? Yes.
Giving time to others.
Time. Time for other people. Heather? Is your hand up?
No.
Are you moving your arm or something? Oh, okay. All right. And they're to help us grow, but how do spiritual disciplines help us grow? What would you say is the component in them that helps us to grow?
Repetition.
Holy Spirit working through them. Okay. Anything else?
Making a decision.
The decision.
Mm-hmm.
Getting away from material things.
Okay, thinking more about that than something else that's more a material thing, yeah.
This is teaching yourself to be devoted to something as well.
Teaching ourselves to be devoted to something. For a spiritual purpose. Yeah. And thus focusing our mind and our hearts on a spiritual purpose, a spiritual focus. Sometimes it can be particularly helpful in the Christian life to have a particular spiritual focus, because sometimes we can go through the Christian life a bit general. I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, but something more specific can be helpful for a period of time. Let me ask you about the word discipline. Oh, sorry, John, one more.
Helping us see God, really, and see or connect with God in Christ.
Yes.
I would think is, for me, the primary purpose.
It connects us with God. On a relationship level and also on a transformational level. It gives God that channel, that opportunity. Excellent, thank you. So what about the word discipline? I mean, it can be a bit negative, right? So we talk about spiritual disciplines. I wonder if it evokes any negativity within us. And we might have to deal with that at the beginning, maybe not here right this second, but just to think about this, that discipline in itself is not in any sense a negative thing. Now, it can be, of course, used in a negative way. But the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Another word there for discipline in Proverbs 1. Blessed is the one you discipline, Lord, the one you teach from your law. You grant them relief from days of trouble. I rather would like relief from days of trouble. It comes through God's discipline. Till a pit is dug for the wicked. Oh well. Poor wicked, there we go. For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life, keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. I'm sure we don't have any wayward women in here tonight. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. It's not just about us. It's about the impact and the influence we have on other people. Discipline is vital for our own spiritual well-being, but also for the spiritual well-being of the people around us. So three types of spiritual disciplines we're going to be looking at in this 6 weeks. Three of engagement and three of abstinence. So the three of abstinence are the frugality in the booklet, solitude, and the third one, which I haven't written down here.
Fasting.
What are the three I've written in the book?
Silence.
Silence. Fasting and frugality. Okay, those are the
celebration.
Okay, so those are the three of withdrawal or denial, abstinence, and the three of engagement would be
celebration, confession, fellowship.
Celebration, confession, and
fellowship.
So those are three of engagement. So we've got three of each type. Six in all in this booklet and for this class series. We'll just do six. Now you may ask, those are interesting spiritual disciplines. What about prayer? What about Bible study? Aren't they more foundational? And of course they are in many ways. But my supposition is that as we engage in these disciplines, spiritual disciplines, we will find that they have great benefits for our prayer life and for our depth of understanding and of absorption of the Bible. It should help with that, to make that deeper and more real, and the connection with God, as JP talked about, more powerful. So that's the idea. These should help that. There are many other spiritual disciplines, a few listed on the slide behind me. We could add to that list. There are many. We're only picking six because if we have too many in a list, we'll get confused and we won't focus and it won't help us. So that's why we're picking just these six. My suggestion is to get the most out of this series, you take one of three approaches. One is to pick one of these disciplines and practice it for the whole month of August. So you may pick one, and that's what I'm doing. I'm going to pick one, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But maybe pick one to do the whole month. If you feel like that wouldn't work for you, or you would prefer to do more, then maybe pick two out of the six and practice them for 2 weeks at a time. If you're going to do that, I'd encourage you to balance one of abstinence with one of engagement. So maybe pick one from each group of three. If you really want to, you could do one a week. So do four in the month, and maybe one this week coming, and so on. And that's fine if you want to do that. I'd encourage most of us to not do as many as that, but it certainly wouldn't be a crime or a sin to do so. But pick your approach and make the most of it. So pick one. Choice is up to you. You may want to talk to someone close to you if you want a bit of advice about one that might work best for you, but that's up to you. It's also up to you how you practice that discipline. The booklet gives you some ideas, some guidelines. The classes are not going to be on the specific disciplines. I'm not going to teach anything particularly about frugality or confession. It'll come into the classes, but the classes are not on the disciplines. That's why you've got the booklet. There's no point in duplicating that. We'll talk more generally about the spiritual application of these spiritual disciplines in these classes and have some sharing from one another about what's working for us and how. So that's what that will be about. I'm going to pick the discipline, spiritual discipline of fellowship. Is what I'm going to choose, which is an interesting one because I spend a lot of time in fellowship. But this is a spiritual discipline of fellowship. In other words, a focused approach for the month of August to fellowshipping with people in a way that will draw me closer to God. And the reason I chose this, I was thinking about which one to choose. And on Sunday, some of you will have met Luke, who came to Lower Early. And he was here on Friday night last week as well. Lovely fellow. And he came to church in Watford with us in the morning. He came up. And we were chatting. And he said, "What are you doing now?" And I said, "Well, I'm going down to Lower Early to the service there." And he said, "Oh, can I come with you? Because I'd like just to talk in the car. Is that okay? I mean, if it's a nuisance, don't worry about it. But is it okay?" I thought, yes, of course it's okay. And then I thought actually, I really quite like these journeys on my own, in between two church services, just to kind of relax and get my head ready for the next church service. And I think I'd rather be on my own, but I don't think a Christian can say no. So I said, "Yeah, that'd be great." And I said it by faith, not by feeling, you know. It was an hour in the car all the way down, and it was really awesome. I mean, we had a great time. I mean, he talked about his life, what his life was like before he was a Christian, his family. I talked about mine. We talked about all kinds of things, about his plans for these charitable things he's organizing and his move to the UK. And I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, with a Christian? It's amazing. If you're stuck in a car for an hour, there's nowhere else to go. It's amazing how deep you can get in just an hour. It's one of the most amazing blessings of the Christian life. And it really struck me at the end of that, and I was praying, "God, which spiritual discipline shall I engage in?" I thought that this is what I need more of in my life right now. because I felt my spirit really lifted. I felt closer to God. I felt more able to connect with God after that time of fellowship than before. So that's for me. And it's also good for me because I quite like hiding away. Solitude or silence would be easy for me. That, you know, that's not really a spiritual discipline. I enjoy that. Give me silence any day. But fellowship, I struggle a bit more with that. And so partly it's to help me. It's an area where I think I can grow. And so think about your own life. Pray about it. Pick something for yourself. Pick one, or pick as many as you like, but at least pick one to start with and get going with that. So that's what we're doing with that. Have any of you already chosen? I'll be interested to know. Have any of you already decided this is going to be the one for me? Yeah? Which one?
You need to share. I thought you just wanted to know who.
Oh, sorry. Paige, would you like to share which one and why? You don't have to.
Patricia's allowed to say no, Mark.
Well,
they are, yeah.
You can say no to me, but if you say no to the Lord, I don't know what could happen. I don't know. You don't have to share. No, of course not.
I'm still kind of meandering between two.
Yeah.
Frugality and confession.
Okay.
So for me, I'm leaning more towards confession, mm-hmm. more because a lot of stuff happens in my mind, and I share a lot of these things with Obi, because I find Obi very safe. Mm. But I've been thinking more about sharing them with the sisters I'm building with here locally, just giving them more of an insight into who I am. So that's a bit of a lean towards confession, opening myself up more in that sense, walking in that openness with the people around me, not just with Obi.
Mm. That sounds like a good thing. I mean, obviously, you know, it's your choice. And I just encourage you to decide by the end of the weekend so that you've got something clear going into the week ahead. But thank you for that. Anybody else like to share? Yeah.
Silence.
So, there are so many opportunities for humour here.
You want to know why?
I would like to know
why.
Is that true? Well, yep, well, we need each other in marriage for such times as this. Good. Silence it shall be. Excellent. Anybody else want to? Yeah, Miko.
Yeah, I think they're all good in a way. And once you start thinking about a single one on its own, I think they all apply. But I think I'd probably do two, fasting and confession, because both would be good for me, not just metaphorically. But it's more like being real to myself, real to God, and being more real to people around me.
Okay, like that goal of being more real. Thank you very much. Anybody else, or we'll move on? Okay, I'd encourage you, please, make a decision by Sunday night, so you've got something clear to go into the week ahead. You also might want to ask around the fellowship as to who else has picked the same one as you. Because there's something about this of encouraging each other, especially when you're finding it a bit difficult. Because most of these things are well outside of our comfort zone, aren't they? So the idea that we're journeying in this together can be very helpful. So maybe find somebody else to encourage you. Now, let's take some inspiration from Jesus. I think we know the story of Matthew 4 quite well, of him being in the desert, a time for him to be prepared for the work that God had in mind for him. As you look through this passage, without reading all of it, I think you're quite familiar with it, let me ask you this. Which disciplines can you see Jesus undergoing here, or are implied? Spiritual disciplines that are either there, or you think lie behind what's going on. Jesus there in the desert with the devil being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. What can you see? What can you surmise is there? What do you think? What kind of spiritual disciplines? Yes.
Withholding gratification.
Okay, withholding gratification, not turning the stone into bread, that kind of thing. So that's a withholding, yes.
Solitude.
I mean, he does have the devil for company. But I think the implication is not there every, perhaps every day, all the time. With some solitude there. The angels come and attend to him at the end, but that's at the end, right? Okay. Yeah. Chris.
I think it would have quite a bit of silence, yeah. You know, unless he's chatting, you know, on his own.
Yeah. Oh, he's in the wilderness. There's going to be some silence, at least a good portion of the time. Why?
Just self-control.
Self-control in general, yeah. Elliot?
Frugality as well. I think he could have responded to Satan in a more extravagant way, but he doesn't need to.
Yeah, there's some frugality there. Limitations, yes.
The obvious one, fasting.
Yeah. Fasting. Mm. I mean, he's hungry. Very hungry, clearly. Okay. Anything else?
Almost all of it was for fellowship with God.
Okay. All right, so there is fellowship of that kind going on, and presumably a considerable amount of prayer, one would imagine. Very focused. I'd imagine there's meditation on God's word going on his word. You know, the word is very ready on his lips when Satan comes to tempt him. And of course, there was that side of it. There's a lot of spiritual discipline involved here for the Son of God. I mean, it's an interesting thing. The Son of God needed this. I think there's an example for us in this. There's inspiration for us in this. But in some way he needed it. There was preparation involved for him to be ready then to do what God had called him to do. Yes, Richard?
Sorry, I don't know if it's a discipline, but I think for me personally, as well, I'm learning the discipline of dependence.
Oh. So he's learning dependence in a deeper way and in a human way, which connects with our needs. So he understands how we are. Absolutely. This prepared him for a lifetime, for the rest of his lifetime of service. Our spiritual disciplines that we engage in can prepare us for the next chapter in our spiritual life, whatever God has in mind for us next. We need times of preparation and growth. I'd like us just to pray together for a moment, and then I've got a few thoughts to finish off, and then we'll conclude. Could I ask a couple of people just to pray about this and what we've been talking about tonight? Who would like to pray? Maybe two people. Two people pray. Okay, well, Obi and Peju. All right, both hands went up simultaneously. Great spiritual unity in that household there. Okay.
Dear Father, it's thinking about the question that Malcolm asked earlier on, what's the purpose of the spiritual disciplines, and so we heard different answers, and one resonated most with me, just to connect with you, Father, to see your heart in all of this. Every day we're faced with the material, what we see, and yet through the spiritual disciplines we're able to connect with what really is true, what we don't see, your heart, your power to transform us in ways that we could never achieve that transformation on our own. We pray that over the next 4 weeks you will open our eyes to a different reality, greater depth, more of your power, more of your spirit's ability to transform us. And I pray that as we each connect with one or more of the disciplines, that we will experience a deeper connection with you, greater than we ever imagined possible. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, thank you that we can pray to you as a body, as your children, not as cowering, fearful slaves, but as beloved children, sons and daughters, birthed in love, bought by the blood of the Lamb. Father, thank you that we can call on you, we can talk to you, we can bring ourselves before you, we can stand naked and unashamed as we are, just as you call us to be, Father. God, I know that whenever your people try to grow, Satan gets in there and distracts and sends doubts and becomes devious and divides. And God, I pray, as the Bible says, that we can all be aware of Satan's scheming. He will scheme around us and in us, and I pray that we will give in to the Spirit and we will not gratify the desires of our sinful nature. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit can be present, and I pray that your Holy Spirit can give us right now what we need. We might be thinking about different things, and yet you might have a different plan. I pray we can be open to you, we can be open to the workings of the Spirit through this time. I pray that it will not be a time of just human, you know, walking in our human flesh and doing things with human wisdom. But I pray that we can choose even to be foolish before you. The Bible says the foolishness of God is greater than man's wisdom. I pray that we can sense the power of the Spirit, and we can sense just in our weakness how you make us strong. So I pray that as we engage in the next 4 weeks, I pray we will see miracles. I pray that we will share about transformations in our lives. We will celebrate with each other about the work that you do that can just, that can only go deeper than what we can do, that can go further. Father, we pray that there will be great things to share as we give glory to you. So Father, we ask for your incredible and your deep involvement, and we pray that we can, yeah, we can grow and we can overcome together as a family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you very much. Just to wrap up, firstly, any quick questions? Anything that's not clear about what we're doing or how we're doing it? Any questions of any kind? Not now. You can talk to me afterwards, okay, if there's anything that isn't clear, or Paige?
I was just going to ask if you could clarify fasting and frugality, because from reading the two, there's a lot in the frugality section that's about giving up kind of food or seemed really tied into fasting. So can you just clarify, or are they intertwined?
A lot of the spiritual disciplines do have some overlap. Silence and solitude, for example, will often have some overlap. There's overlap, but I think frugality is more about looking at all aspects of your lifestyle than fasting, which is more about denying something which is an appetite, a natural appetite. So I don't know if that helps, but it's something to do along those lines, I think. Good. Okay. I put some book recommendations in the booklet, but if you've read books on these topics that you think are worth recommending, could you let me know and I'll share those in later classes? And one last suggestion I think you'll find very helpful, whichever spiritual discipline you choose, memorize at least one scripture to support you in that. There's nothing like knowing from the Bible why you're doing what you're doing and that it is biblical. So pick a scripture and memorize that, even if it's just a little phrase. I think you'll find that helpful. And that is how God's people grow. It's a good component of how God helps us grow. So enjoy some fellowship, and I hope this is helpful in the next few weeks. Thank you very much.